Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Back Porch Writer Podcast, the show for writers, about writers, and writing. It's live, fun, and informative. Each week, I chat with writers, editors, and industry pros to give you and me a heads up about this whole new awesome publishing world. Back Porch Writer is about creating the life that you want through writing and publishing. Are you ready to tap submit? Let's explore the possibilities together. Welcome to Back Porch Writer.
Welcome to Back Porch Writer, the show for writers, about writers, and writing. I'm your host, Corey Miller, and today is April something. Oh, no, it's April 26, 2017. I've been substitute teaching a lot lately in my brain. I'm in graduate school, so my brain is just a little bit fried. I'm not going to lie. Not going to lie. But today was really cool, I will say. I was at one of the local schools, and I para-sub there. So I'm a para-educator sub. And the last 2 days, and then tomorrow, I've been working with basically the resource room, which is special education. And I love working with the kids that come into there. They're so much fun. And today I introduced a few of them to the great game of chess. And we started and ended with, because they're just learning, pawn chess. So if you've never played that, that's actually a lot of fun. And you can introduce some of the bigger pieces that way, or more important pieces that way. I'm sorry I said that. More important. The pawn is important too. We all know the power of the pawn. Okay, not going to lie. Anyway, so that was so much fun. Introducing that to them was just a ball. And actually, I should back up. This started with me coming into the school this morning with my demonstration board. And it's rolled up and in a bag. And it's quite long. And so the kids, they're all lined up against the halls just waiting for classes to start. And they're intrigued by this. What is that? What is that? So I said, well, hold on to this for a minute. So I go put my stuff down. And I came back and I took it all out and rolled it on the floor. And before you knew it, I was surrounded by all these kids. Can we play? Can we play? And we just did not have enough time. So then after school, I got stopped by another kid and they have an after school program. He's like, can we play chess? I said, well, I've got a little bit of time because they got it early today. And so I went back to my car and I have a whole box of chess boards and chess pieces, brought it in, and he and I set up the board and we started to play. And then sure enough, we're surrounded by a group of kids who all want to play chess and learn chess. And I'll tell you that just warms my heart. It is such a great feeling to see this and see so much excitement in their faces and their voices. It was awesome. It was absolutely awesome. So that was one of the greatest things for today that happened. I had a little blip too that happened that I should mention. Before I do that though, let me explain. I've been listening to a book called Emotional Intelligence, and I'm blanking on the author's name. But in it, one of the things he talks about is how anger feeds on anger. And how you have to be really careful about that sort of thing, particularly as it relates to emotional intelligence. So I was tested today because when I went out to my car to get the chess sets, I saw a warning on my car from the police department. And I thought, what the heck? I'm not parked illegally. What happened? And I soon found out what happened. And it did not make me a happy camper. And I was not at fault at all, but it made me very angry. And I tried to handle the situation gracefully with the other people that were involved and kept reminding myself of this book. So I'm very happy that I'm reading this book right now because it's helping me to keep that in check. Because it's truly frustrating, I'm not going to lie, what happened with this particular company and what they chose to do with my car today. But anyway, it ended on a high note because I was playing chess with a great group of kids. And that's awesome, you know? And that sort of leads me into, I have a guest today who likes to write for young adult audiences. So we're going to bring her on. And if I recall correctly, she is also a geologist. And that's fascinating. Oh my gosh, I didn't even tell my oldest about that. Okay, so we have to come back around to that. But let's welcome Sandy Will to the Back Porch Writer Program. Hi, Sandy. How are you?
Hey, Corey. I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I can't complain. You know, like I said, it ended on a high note. I was playing chess with a great group of kids.
Yeah, it sounds like
eager.
It.
It was awesome. It really was. It was just, and the one that I was playing, he was so eager to play. And I said, do you understand how the pieces move? And he says, oh, yes, yes, yes. Said, okay. No, he really didn't.
Well, he gave it a good try, right?
Yes, he did. He really did. He kept wanting to move the pawn at a diagonal when it was supposed to go forward because it wasn't capturing anything. So there were a few little hiccups, but we had a great time. So it was awesome. It really was fabulous, and all of them wanted to play again tomorrow. And I said, well, I'm not going to be able to do that tomorrow, unfortunately. But
enough
about
like, can you come back every day?
I know, right? Can you come back every day after school? I'm like, yeah, not so much. Sorry. All right. So geologist, what do you do as a geologist?
Well, I'm actually a hydrogeologist. And that means that I study the aquifers below land surface. And I work for a state agency, and we basically take cores from land surface to 3,000 feet below land surface. And what we're looking for are the different aquifers that are below. And the whole idea is to look for future water supplies because, you know, I'm in Florida. Saltwater intrusion, you know, saltwater coming from the coast and coming more inland has been a problem for many years. And so what we're trying to do is, you know, have alternative water supplies in the, you know, in if there were not to be current water supplies available in the future. So it's kind of researching and protecting water supplies is the area that I mostly work in. So as a geologist, I work, I'm a manager now, so I have like 15 staff members, but we have drillers and geologists and technicians that are at the site. And so we have well sites, basically. And so we're looking at the different rocks as we move down with the cores. So they're always pulling cores out of the ground, and we're describing the rocks that are coming out from the cores and looking at the different characteristics of the aquifer.
So how did you get from doing that by day to, oh, I think I'll write young adult, and I have to correct myself because I wrote this as mystery thrillers because I was looking at how you had it listed, I think, on Amazon. But it's really, what do you call it, psychological thrillers?
Psychological thriller. Yeah.
How'd you do that?
Kind of a suspense. Well, I know. You know, during all my school, which I went to school for quite a while, so I had my master's degree, and, you know, a lot of it I did at night because I worked full-time during most of my career in school. And so I got used to writing a lot, but it was mostly technical writing, you know, writing about data and facts. Mm-hmm. And when I moved into the state agency, I didn't really write as many reports. And when I became manager, I don't write really any reports. So I think there was a void there for me for writing. And I have, you know, I do like to read, and I was reading a book, and I didn't really like the way that it ended. And I said to myself, gee, I wouldn't have ended it that way. And then I also thought, well, that's pretty pompous of you. You've never written a book in your life. So, you know, why would you say that? And so then it was born. It was like, well, I guess I'll go ahead and try to write a book. And this book I released is not my first book, actually. I wrote a time travel first, which I'll be releasing next. But after I finished the time travel, I wanted to see if I could write dark. You know, I grew up on a lot of horror flicks and, you know, a lot of scary movies. And I don't know, I just felt like I wanted to try that genre, and I ended up really liking it.
Wow. Okay. So tell me a little bit about this. The book you have right now is The Caging at Deadwater Manor. And from what I read, it's inspired by true events. What's that all about? What's the story here?
Well, it's about an 18-year-old girl who finds herself committed to a psychiatric hospital against her will. And she's put there by her father, who resents her. And so she goes through all kinds of treatments and things like that. There's a lot of storyline, a backstory to it, which I don't want to give away too much. But it was inspired by my dad, actually, because he used to work at psychiatric hospitals, just short periods of his career. But I remember when I was young, like 16, him coming home and upset about working at the psychiatric hospital. But I never really asked him too many questions about it. But when I decided to write a dark book, I really thought it was going to be on ghosts. So I wanted to see if he experienced anything at the psychiatric hospitals, and he didn't experience any ghosts, but he shared like the patient routines and some of the outbursts that they did, what they wore, you know, about their their dinners, you know, their kind of time that they would be out in the yard, things like that. And then he remembered he went up into the attic one time and found something very disturbing up there, which kind of haunted me in a way to where I felt like I had to write a story about it. So the story itself is fiction, but it is based on what he found in the attic and a lot of the patient routines and treatments that patients, you know, would go, you know, have going on from him, but also from a lot of research that I did on psychiatric treatments from the past. So
what did he find in the attic?
Well, I can't tell you. You got to read the book.
Ah, dang it. Dang it. That's just crazy.
Yeah.
There's a place. I'm in Nebraska, so down the middle. And in St. Joseph, Missouri, or near St. Joseph, Missouri, there, I don't know if it's still there, but there was this museum that was an old psychiatric hospital. Now it's a museum. And so for our honeymoon, we actually went camping and then went to that hospital, that museum, to check things out. I know.
Oh, really?
That's just the way it is. it happens. So we went there, and it is horrifying, the things that you know doctors did way back when to patients.
Yeah.
And mostly because they didn't know any better. It's what they thought would work at the time. And in some cases, because they were just sadistic. I mean, that's just the reality of it. Man, that stayed with me, that visit to the museum and the things that they had.
Well, that's,
so I imagine this could be scary.
That's kind of what, you know, I really was striving for with a book is, you know, I really want to write stories that stay with you afterwards, that creep you out enough to, you know, make you think, gee, could that have really happened even to me? And, you know, back in, you know, a long time ago anyway, they used to admit patients against their will, and it was usually done by their families, usually wealthy families, who, you know, they didn't understand mental disorders back then. So they were, you know, either not sure what to do with the patient, or they were embarrassed by the patient or whatever, but they would pay for the patient to stay there at the hospital. That was something my dad told me. And so, you know, it wasn't uncommon for that to happen. I doubt it happens today, but the book is basically it's a modern novel, but it goes into what it would have been like in the past.
So what kind of feedback have you received? I know you've had some reviews, so what kind of feedback?
Yeah, I've had so far on Amazon, I've had all 5-star reviews. I have 26, I think, right now. Most of them say they can't put the book down, that they you know, that they wanted to, you know, climb into the story and beat up a lot of the characters, you know, so, and that they thought it was well written, it just kind of edge your seat type things, which has just been really exciting for me to, you know, read those kind of reviews. And also when the day that it was released on March 31st, I hit the number one hot new sellers or hot new releases on Amazon, so I was pretty excited about that.
How'd that happen?
Well, I hired a book promoter for one thing, and she had me put together a virtual team, and so I had like 100 people together to post my announcements on my release day, and so just all of that social media, and just of course, you know, people that I had met, you know, just buying books on this first day that it's released shoots it up the charts and, you know, helps a lot. So
people are going to want to know after they listen to this, who was the book promoter?
Oh, her name is Suzanne Moore.
They're going to be like, oh, what? Book promoter. Okay, noted. Book promoter. That is so awesome. I'm looking through some of the customer reviews, and the one that I stopped at right away, it's number 2, is Holy Heck.
Yeah.
Is the title. It says, this book is intense. That's cool. You know, it goes on. It's all positive. It goes on from there. You know, the next one is, wow, this thriller definitely had my heart racing. Okay.
Right.
You know, So you've done something well for sure.
Yeah, you know, and because it's the debut, it's so nerve-wracking to put it out because, you know, you're not sure how it's going to be received. And, you know, did you do what you think you did? You know, is it good enough? You know, so, yeah, I've been really excited to have those kind of reviews. And it just makes it all the more worth it, you know, all the time put into the book, you know. Just, you know, the research with my dad, but also research on psychiatric hospitals themselves. And I tried to get a real good feeling of what it would have been like because it's first person, you know, I'm talking through Jeannie. So, you know, you're getting to see and feel what she was seeing and feeling. So.
All right. So how, you mentioned the research, how much time did you spend researching before writing?
Gosh. Probably a month or two, you know, looking through the internet. I was also fortunate to find some pictures of psychiatric hospitals inside when they were just abandoned. So I could see kind of like the equipment and things like that that were in there. And then I looked at some of the ones that were super old and some of those treatments as well. And my mom also worked at psychiatric hospitals for a while. And she told me some of the medical treatments because she was a nurse. And so, you know, back then they didn't, they thought they were doing the right thing.
Right.
You know, they weren't.
Right.
Yeah. They thought that, you know, it was the latest and greatest. But yeah, it definitely was quite eye-opening to do that research.
What was the most
disturbing
thing?
I didn't have to participate. I'm sorry.
What was the most disturbing thing you learned?
Well, I think what's in the book that my dad discovered. But some of the, you know, kind of treatments that were kind of claustrophobic, that they would close them in things, or I think they had these kind of steam baths they would stand in with a box around them, their head sticking up, you know, out of it. Just kind of very claustrophobic, like they were always tied down or, you know, enclosed in something.
So the next, you said you wrote the time travel one actually before this, but the next thing you do, you're planning on even getting perhaps a little bit darker.
Yes.
So you started with the time travel. What got you into doing something like that?
You know, again, I thought I was going to write a ghost story. I need to write one at some point. and so, but I don't know, somehow it morphed into, this, you know, kind of creepy mirror type thing. And it just ended up being a time travel. And I don't know, somehow I just ended up finding information about Ireland and, in the 1800s. And that at just, that history just was so rich that it just interested me so much. I wanted to use that as the first book. This, that one is going to be a series. So it's about a girl from today who meets a guy from 1849 Ireland, and you know, he's going through the Great Irish Hunger and, you know, barely surviving his time. So you know, she's trying to help him through his hard times there. And so each book will take you to different histories and time, and I'm going to try to find ones that you might may not have necessarily learned in school, and, you know, that way it's a little bit unique and interesting. So it'll be, you know, worldwide, but just kind of different ones.
We have somebody actually calling in, so let's check in and see who that is. Caller, you're welcome to the Back Porch Writer Program. What question do you have for Sandy? Caller? Hello? All right, so hopefully they'll be able to get their sound or whatever's going on with them figured out. We'll just keep going on. All right, so I love the time travel side of things. I have a young adult, not young adult, more like middle grade book that I wrote for Nano a couple of years ago, and I haven't gone back to it yet. But it's got time travel too, because that's just a fascinating topic, you know? I mean, and it's one of those that you can be so creative with, but at the same time, maybe not so much. Just kind of, you know, you have to have some of the science there, and then, you know, then bring in all of those really fun fantasy elements. But
right.
Now you're going to go into even darker. So what
I am currently
title
writing.
For the,
right now it's called. Right now it's called Vision's Edge. I don't know if that'll end up changing because I'm in like chapter 8 of it. But that one is probably for a more adult audience. And you know, the current one I have is really kind of mature young adult. It's 16 and up. And this one's probably at least I'd say probably 18 and up. But it's about a guy, just a regular guy, and he goes through a tragedy in his life, and he has a very peculiar way of dealing with that. So that's about all I can say about it right now.
You're really good at these hooks. I'm just saying. Keep throwing out these little hooks, and I'm like, oh, that sounds interesting. Tell me more. No, you're not going to tell me anymore, are you? No, you're not, because you're just going to throw it out there like a little hook. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. One of the things that I do appreciate this about your write-up. When you did, I don't know if you did it or the promo person did it, but on Amazon, you have a note there that tells everybody, warns everybody that the book is intended for a mature, young adult, new adult, and older audiences due to profanity and mature content. And I rarely see that. So I really thought that was a smart move. And I say that in part because today I was talking with the teacher at that school that I was at. I was talking with the resource room teacher, and we got to talking about my writing a little bit. And she said, you know, I don't really want to read anything that's sort of, you know, smutty. So
right.
I think it's helpful when an author puts those sorts of warnings out there for readers. And then they're not, you know, blindsided.
Yeah, you know, as a mom myself, I felt it was, you know, just important to let parents know, you know, there isn't any super explicit sexual scenes in it, but there are some sensual choices that Jeannie has to make. And, you know, even though it's in a psychiatric hospital, you know, girls are faced with this all the time, making choices and being in situations where they're not real sure if they're reading it correctly. And I hope one thing they get out of the book is that, you know, follow your instincts, follow your gut, because, you know, I think that a lot of girls, you know, don't realize that when they're going through it. So that was one thing that I brought into the book. There's several layers into the book, you know, several things that come to play. And so I'm hoping they get those messages that I'm trying to outreach with them as they're reading it.
Well, it sounds like you, on a book promo beginning, you know, the starting point, you really hit the ground running. What are you doing now from a marketing perspective?
Right now, I'm exploring Facebook ads and Amazon ads, trying to see, you know, it seems like I get, you know, hits or clicks, but there's not too many sales from what I'm spending on the advertising. I don't want to, you know, flood my social media with my book, like constantly putting in a few people's faces because I, you know, that can be annoying. So I'm trying to, you know, flood it at places where people actually might want to buy the book. So right now, that's what I'm doing is right now I have an Amazon ad going on. I may try Goodreads and maybe iBooks or something to see. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of testing the waters basically on, is it worth the advertisement, or is it truly just word of mouth and there's really not much more you can do until that, if it takes off, you know, whenever that would take off. But that's kind of what I'm doing right now is just the research on advertising and, you know, seeing what I can find about, you know, that. I'm a data person, so I love, you know, looking at the data and comparing, contrasting. So I'm hoping to find that sort of, I don't know, magic combination to where I can let that go on its own primarily and then, you know, keep writing on the side for, you know, my next release and getting that ready.
So why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Sandy Will, and it's S-A-N-D-I-E Will, W-I-L-L. You can also find me on my website, which is www.sandywill.com, or you can also find me at www.deadwatermanor.com. So there's a page for the book. And I'm on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, all the major outlets, iBooks, Kobo, all, you know, all the major ones. And just you can search my name or you can search the book and you should be able to find it.
Before I let you go, one quick tip for other authors. What would you say?
You know, the one thing I see a lot of is a lot of free books. And, you know, I think somehow that's gotten kind of mixed up in the sense of, you know, maybe if you're giving the book away for free for your series, your first of your series, I can maybe see that. But, you know, a lot of times people would give books away, say they were, you know, a marketing consultant or something. They have another product, so they're giving their book away for free for people to buy their services. But when you're an author, your book is your product. So, you know, just encourage authors to, you know, sell your book. You know, the thing is, you can charge money. When I released my book and I had number one hot new releases, I charged $2.99 for my book. I didn't put it out there for free. And so, and I don't plan on doing that in the future because I did put the editing, you know, I paid for editing. I paid for a book promoter. I put a lot of money into the book and research and time. And, you know, that's my product. So that's what I'm going to sell. And I think you should just spend a lot of time trying to promote your product. So that's, it's a business too. You know, you have to think of it that way too.
Excellent
advice.
Thank you so much, Sandy, for sharing that. And thank you for being a guest here on Back Porch Writer.
Well, I certainly appreciate you having me. I really enjoyed the time with you.
Have a great day.
Okay. You too. Bye-bye now.
Well, go check out her book. You know, it's over on Amazon. That's where I was checking out the reviews, and they are fabulous. I love to see things like that when readers just go, oh my God, this is the best book ever. And they're verified purchases and they actually mean it. So go check out her book over on Amazon.com. Let me tell you the name of it again. It's The Caging at Deadwater Manor. So if you like psychological thrillers, then this is probably the book for you. So go check it out. That's all I'm saying. Oh, and I should say this. If you like it, leave a review. If you don't like it, you know, you could leave a review too, but at least be kind when you leave the review. But either way, reviews are cool. So go check that out. It is The Caging at Deadwater Manor. I'm your host, Corey Miller. Thank you again for joining me here on Back Porch Writer, the show for writers about writers and writing. Until next time, pull up a chair, sit a spell, and write. Thanks for listening to Back Porch Writer. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe via iTunes so people just like you can find the show. If you've got comments, questions, or want to be a guest, visit backporchwriter.com for details. I'm your host, Corey Miller. Until next time, pull the chair, sit a spell, and write.